Welcome, everybody, to Math of the Match podcast. I am Tim. No Lawrence this week. Actually, not even a regular episode this week, but I figured we'd get something out here for you to listen to. We were unable to fulfill all of our programming this week, and we knew we were going to have this issue early on. So prior to that, though, I was able to get my TNA Impact score in, so this will be a TNA Impact review for the week of May 9th, 2024. So we're going to do that. Still give you something to talk about, and I was excited that I was still able to talk about TNA because it was a super good episode this week with some cool things that are probably going to get even better going forward. As a reminder, you can check us out. We're on Twitter at Math of the Match, or X. You also can email us if you like, mathofthematch@gmail.com. That's where we are at the moment. Maybe we'll branch out to other things. I don't know. Maybe. Just a reminder that our shoot math is formulated by a 100-point system, 10 categories, each worth 10 points. And if you'd like a reminder of our 10 categories, it is match length, entertainment, good storytelling, finish, logical spots, actual wrestling, fun, does it leave me wanting more, pre or and or post-match buildup, and then the crowd work slash reaction. So let's dive right into this, this mini-sode, I'm going to call it, for Math of the Match. We have, for TNA Impact, we start off with a system championship celebration segment in the ring, which does get interrupted by Broken Matt. This was a very smart segment because now, after Under Siege has happened, Alicia Edwards did in fact become women's knockout tag champ with Masha Slamovich, utilizing her rematch clause from when she was with MK Ultra. So now the system has even more gold, which is perfect, because they've had the belts for a little bit now. Now is the time. If they want to start losing belts, it's fine. It makes sense. You had the most you could possibly have without having everything, I guess, is kind of the feel of it. But this was good. They get interrupted by Broken Matt, who starts getting beat up after saying a lot of silly stuff, which is the point of him, right? And he actually gets saved from that gross chair spot we talked about last week that Nick Nemeth took, by Ryan Nemeth. So this makes a lot of sense. It's tying up a lot of loose ends from a lot of older storylines here, and I do appreciate it. Ryan Nemeth with the bleach blonde hair and the cane, Singapore cane that he made the save with, looking very Sandman, very fun. This was a good segment. I didn't rate it, but it was good to see the storyline moving forward, and I think the system is fantastic. If you're not watching Impact, you should be. Now we get our first match of the night, and it is Ray Jazz and Zach Clayton, which is the new FBI, taking on First Class, which is Rich Swann, and the greatest AJ in all of wrestling, AJ Francis. No, I will not stop Lawrence. This was a pretty good tag match, especially with the heel tactics by First Class. This was not a long match, but a smart one story-wise between the ropes. Swann had a very nice kick with a huge chokeslam by Francis, which got them the win. I like this match a bunch because it was very clear who was going to win from the start, but nobody got buried. Everybody got a little bit of stuff in, and it made perfect sense. So it's nice to see that happening. That being said, it's still pretty close to a squash match, so I gave it a 75. Nice to see Ray Jazz. Like I said, he was local to us, doing good. He got the hot tag in that match and just looked really solid, so I'm happy for him. Next, we get a quick segment, a sound check with Allen Angels featuring Khan and Steph DeLander. This was very silly and called back previous sound checks, which mostly had Khan, since they were both in the design together. And Khan just seems to tolerate Allen Angels, but I think that ended here. Interesting. I like that they're keeping Steph DeLander and Khan together. We will see where that goes. If they, because I think that's a good way to kind of ground Khan. The way they were building him before, it was just like, I'm a monster, but I don't have a ton of personality. I just get angry and I want to fight. Like, we have a million guys that do that, even though he is very good at it. So having her kind of be more of a mouthpiece or just kind of ground him in more of a reality is a good idea. Next up, we get a tag match, again, which is the Rascals, Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz, taking on Jake Something and Cody Deaner. This People's Choice gimmick from Deaner is pretty silly, but I love that it's just, I mean, you're controlling the audience. You're telling them what you want. But it's an excuse to do matches you wouldn't normally do. And I love Raywalt. Raywalt questions this gimmick as it seems Deaner loses more than he doesn't, which is really fun that he called that out, because it is true. But your options for this match was for a standard tag match or a tag tornado match. which of course the Tornado match won. We don't get to see, I mean, AEW, I feel like every match feels like a Tornado match. But as far as a traditional Tornado match, you don't see them that often. And I loved what they did here. It actually worked really good, where Diener and Something are not a regular tag team at all. So Diener's like kind of just calling spots to him, and he would execute these big power moves. There was a good moment where he's like, slam him, you know, or no, give him a scoop slam. Give him a scoop slam. Give me a scoop slam. So he just kind of stacked him. It was a lot of fun, and then used Diener as a weapon. From the storytelling point of view of that, this match was fantastic and a lot of fun. Good running the ropes spot where the Rascals eat a ton of shit in a creative manner from Something. We do get a double cover, which was cool, where both teams had a pin on the other team. And the ref kind of just stopped like, I can't count three. It would accomplish nothing. There was a kick out before, but it was really funny that they're just like, oh, we both legit probably had a three count. I don't know. Something was really rolling, but then Miguel does end up going to his classic heel move of the spray paint in the eyes, which calls back to his X-Division title run. Classic Miguel. This will eventually lead to a double team and pin on Diener. After the match, Macklin shows up and absolutely destroys the Rascals. So finally, he's like, he's done trying to repair this relationship with the Rascals. He's just gonna make them eat shit, which he does. He destroys them very well. Crowd really loved this match, and I loved it too. It was really great storytelling. All the nods for storytelling on this one. I gave this match an 85, which pretty good for me. Next up, we get two quick little interviews. We got a sit-down interview with Mike Santana. Pretty basic, pretty good interview. Kind of just talks about how he was a tag specialist in TNA the prior time he was there, how he went to AEW, and now he's trying to strike out on his own. I think it was a fine interview. Talks about his addiction, talks about some personal stuff. His father had passed away. Things like that. It just kind of grounds him in reality. Like, hey, I'm a dude. So it was one of those promos. Next, we get an Ash by Elegance interview in the ring with Gabby Espina. And this was fine. It's just setting up a rematch between her and Xia Brookside. It was a little silly, but I mean, that's kind of the character that she's portraying right now, and I was here for it. Next, we get our first singles match of the night, and I'm glad this is one of the big reasons I'm glad that my TNA stuff was done to do a minisode for you this week, was Jonathan Gresham versus Will Ferreira. Now, if you don't know Will Ferreira, he's been in Ring of Honor forever, prior to it being purchased by AEW. Dude's great. Dude is a workhorse. So he's probably had a billion matches with Jonathan Gresham. But this is the first time on TV. This is the second match. First time on TV, we're seeing the new version of Jonathan Gresham. I alluded to it last week. He did an interview where he did a segment where he was talking to Santino, and he was having like a split personality kind of thing happen. He comes out. Everything seems the same. He's got the Cthulhu octopus-looking mask, but when he takes it off, he's got like a Great Muta-style mask on underneath that he's going to wrestle in, and he continues to just be a technical wizard in the ring. Like, everything is virtually the same, but he seems a little, like, distant, especially in the eyes. He seems like he's looking far off. He does more heel things, but in a fun way, because, like, it's hard to boo Gresham. He is insanely good. So he had debuted this, like I said, at Under Siege, so this was the first TV match. Regular TV match. One thing he does is he ties Will up in a couple different ways. He pretzels him, basically. And he'll do, like, face clap chants with the audience using his chest and this person's, like, foot or hand. You know, the generic wrestling stomps and claps. But he's doing it like he's not into it, and he's kind of looking off into the distance, and it's just, like, a thing he does. It's very weird, and I do love it. He did it probably three times in this match. It's almost like he's confused if he's a good guy or a bad guy in a weird way. He does a bunch of weird things where he's like coughing up ink now as part of his gimmick. The ref gets real grossed out by this, kind of has like a coughing fit. And the crowd absolutely loves this. The crowd was into it. The interaction was awesome. He ends up getting the octopus lock on, standing, not seated, like falling to the mat, standing version of the octopus. And he spits up the ink and puts it in his opponent's mouth with a chokehold, which gets the 1-2-3. I love this gimmick. I could see this being really, really good. And I'm very excited to see what Gresham does going forward. After this match, we get a quick tease of the return of Giselle Shaw. I love Giselle Shaw. She is great. It'll be good to have her back into the Knockouts division, hopefully going for the belt. I want her to get the belt. She is definitely one of my favorite Knockouts. Then we get our main event, which is Ace and Bay, the ABC Bullet Club, taking on Speedball Mountain. And this actually ties into the X Division number one contender. So we have Mustafa Ali out of commentary. So what this match is the winning team will then face each other in a singles match, and the winner of that singles match will then face Mustafa Ali. So fun, right? Interesting kind of way. I like it. It's a way for other people to get title shots. Ace Austin did come up short against Mustafa Ali, but there was a little screwy finish. So will he get it? Will Bay get it? There's a lot of storyline here. Trent Seven and Speedball have kind of been really clicking really well. So if they have to face each other, what will that look like? Speedball Mountain have control early. Both are face teams, but Speedball Mountain are kind of working closer to heel, especially Bailey. He's kind of working more arrogantly a little bit, and I think that's the smart way for him to still be a face, but kind of like, I'm kind of a dick this time. Everyone is very even until Seven comes in, who has that new variable, which is power. Huge superplex on Bay by Seven. Speedball misses a shooting star press, but Ace doesn't miss a missile dropkick on Seven. Everybody's down, everybody's eating shit. Bay is able to avoid most of Seven's power to turn it around, but this breaks down into chaos with all four men. Speedball Mountain hit a seven star lariat with a high kick combo on Austin, but Bay does break up the pin. It looked good. Speedball Mountain hits many hard-hitting double teams, and eventually Speedball Mountain do win with a Burning Hammer Ultimo Weapon combo. So you have Speedball Mountain, Bailey, and Seven. They will fight each other, I presume, next week, and the winner of that will be the new number one contender. I'd like it to be Seven, because Bailey's had a billion shots and reigns with that X Division title, but either way, it's going to be a great match. I gave this match an 83. So, Impact Wrestling, as a whole, had a really good week. There's a good chance, because I have two 85s on this show, there's a good chance that Gresham would have been my number one, and I'm glad that I still was able to talk about it. But let us know. Let us know what you think. I think this is one of the better Impacts I've seen in a little bit. It's very well-rounded, and especially story-wise, accomplished a lot. That means Impact gets an 82% for the week. So that is it. Make sure you follow us on X on Twitter at Math of the Match, and we will keep putting this out for you. Sorry we didn't get the full episode this week. This will happen from time to time. It's a lot to get this in on time on Monday mornings. So I do appreciate everybody who comes back. I hope you are pleased that you at least got some Impact this week, and we will see you next week. Later.